Let's we'll have a word of prayer and then we will sing a song or two. Let's close your eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, even with the weather. Thank you for the steam skin and the fixed roof. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. And I pray your good hand upon us this morning. And anybody, Lord, that's turning up to hear the full counsel of your word, please. And King James Gospel Preaching Church, with man that loves you, Lord, I pray that you would bless the proceedings. Pray for Lynn and Dr. Shine as they travel this morning for work. Pray for Colin over in Ukraine. For John, for Pat and Steve. Pray too for Will and Norman, Monica and myself. For our brethren, especially Ed Bessett at this time. I pray you, Lord, for us all. We love you and praise you. We ask all this, Lord, and for your company this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I know we're not quite there yet, but how's about singing hymn number 7? Hymn number 7 in the Week Mike books is You Plough the Fields and Scatter. Amen. We'll remain seated as we sing.
How long has it been? Number 15, how long? long as a day.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, and thou mightest be justified, and when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, and shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and thy mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thy desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. Be good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, burnt offerings, and the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen.
Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of the new Wee Orangey prayer lists. Make sure that you are you've got everything on there that you want. If there's any prayer requests that you need added, let me know and make sure I write them down, because you know the old saying, if it wasn't written down, it never happened. Look through emails for this, there's no email or text trail, so if there's something on there that shouldn't be there, let us know. If there's something on there that is passed that can be taken off, let us know. But if there's something isn't there that you want for us to pray about, let us know. Just one thing that may be a little bit strange to everybody is under Monica's name is a man called Tom and his wife Pat. They live over in Dundee. They are connected to Jim Van Boltenberg's church. He found out that he had stage 4 cancer. This was supposed to have been acted upon last April, and didn't. And I think he is just waiting to hear how long he has to live. We have said to Pastor Van Boltenberg that we would pray for him. Please do. The Lord knows his surname. But Tom has the cancer, and with his wife too. Please also pray for the Dear King family. The wife was very ill with everything, COVID, sepsis, pneumonia. That's the lady that has lost both of her legs and is losing her arms an inch at a time. And you know you're not well when all that the doctors are hoping for is that you will have enough of a stump on your limbs to fit prosthetics too. You know you're not in a good place. That's where she is. Please do pray for her if you would. Don't forget Mark Donaghy. Haven't heard very much of him of late. I've known him the whole time I've been in Derry. 30-something odd years. So please do pray for him. 35 years, I think that would be. Please do pray for him. He has some health issues as well. Don't forget Will's mum. She's still having a lot of back problems. And do indeed pray for Beryl as well, if you would. Norman has legal things going on, and he's got something going on with his leg, so please pray for that, that it clears up right and quick and post-haste. Other than that, pray for Israel. We need to pray for Israel, and we need to stand up and speak up for them whenever you hear them being spoken badly of. And God bless you. That's written in the Bible. That is just a promise to you. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add? A lot going on. Pray for our sister churches. Don't forget Ed Bissett, if you would, please. And the folks up in Temple Patrick. People in Bangor with the Collins and the Seelys and the Asquiths over there in the States. I think that's about that. Pray for prayer requests. Any of you folks got private prayer requests? That's it. The Lord knows what those are. Pray that he grants them according to your will. Well, would you mind leading us a wee word of prayer, brother, if you would? Thank you.
Dear Father, this day, Lord, thank you for your sister, security, for your house, Lord, going for number. Give us a blessing, Lord. Reveal your work, your works and your desires on us, for your servant Mark has come to deliver the gospel, Lord, later on. Give us a blessing, Lord, mighty and powerfully. We will also remember Abbot Brown, Lady and Dr. Shang, and Frank, Lord, with Lady and Dr. Shang is there in the conference, Lord. Help my lady bring safely to your lady back to homes and into your house again at this point in time, Lord. Also with Frank, Lord, safe to welcome, close to work, clean, and Lord, beautiful, as he's in London as well, Lord. Help me, Lord, as I'm with me as well, Lord. We have Paul, Lord, keep safe well, little friend of trouble, Lord. And bring it back to the trial, Lord. Help my name powerfully as well, Lord. Save Stephen Collins, John, Lord. Bring him back to church. Save his own name powerfully as well, Lord. with Stephen Patlord. Help Stephen with the Alice's Lord, bring him back to church as well, Lord. Because I walk with people, have them pants as well, Lord. Lord, with the activities in the Middle East, Lord, you might cool it down a bit, Lord. Stop soldiers from being killed, Lord. Destroy the evil ones, Lord. You know us, Lord. And preserve the Jews, Lord, in their homeland.
Yes.
And their homeland, safe from our Lord. And send messengers, Lord, and Holy Spirit to convict the Jewish people, and even the Arabs and the Muslims of their need of a Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. Save them mightily and powerfully, from our Lord. With this day, Lord, guide us and protect us, Lord, and thank you for helping us in the week that has passed thus far, Lord. And Lord, keep us safe from our Lord, and help us draw us to a new Christ in the week, Lord. Fully dedicated to you and your Son. We give you the honor, Lord, and our praise and strength to us, Lord, today, Lord. With the tracks of our history, Lord, you might use it mightily for our sinners. For the need of the Saviour, Lord, save, don't be done with people there yet, Lord, but save them mightily and powerfully, only through the shed blood of the cross, shed by Jesus Christ, your Son. Bless, and keep us, Lord, and bless us, bless, Lord, and reveal thyself to us in the world, for Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Will. Amen. Let's sing another song. We're going to the wee book, or the big book, sorry, the one with the wee writing. Hymn number 349. The big book for the wee right. Hymn number 349 is The Comforter Has Come. Comforter Has Come, 349. And we'll remain seated as we sing.
Friend of mine, come where I am. Oh,
thank you very much. You want to put away your hymn books for a bit and take out your Bibles and have a look in Luke with me. Luke chapter 7. Let's have a look in Luke. Luke chapter 7. And the title of the message is, We Should Be. Luke chapter 7, We Should Be. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse number 1, we're going to read about 20 verses of this portion of God's Word. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. Amen. Don't forget to pray for all of our absent brethren, wherever it is they might be. And pray for the Lord's good hand upon them. The Word of God says, Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, goeth, and he goeth, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. They that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. These verses, next couple of verses, are our text. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and gave unto many that were blind, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in it. Amen. Verse numbers 16, 17, and 18 is our text this morning. We're speaking on the subject of we should be. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a quick prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, please be with us, Lord, as we spend this time in your word, and I pray for the words to speak and the understanding in our hearts, and if you would take and use it to help us to learn and grow. Please be with our absent brethren, please most especially be with the Dear King family, with the Bissett family, Lord, and that family of Tom and Pat, you know who they are. No, Lord, you can take that all away from them, but I pray most importantly that your will can be done. We pray you for victories, Lord. We pray that you would go before us and destroy our enemies as and where possible. Please bless and keep Israel, and please be one of our number this morning. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. That's an interesting, packed full of miracles part of the Word of God. And let's have a quick look at it. We're going to do a very, very quick, just work through this portion of God's Word. And then I want to consider God for the rest of the service. Here we, the first thing that happens is the centurion servant being healed by God on the brink of death, and Jesus heals him. And then the very next day he's walking through, he's in Capernaum, and he comes across a funeral procession. And a lot of his followers are there, and there's a lot of people, the Bible says in verse number 12, there's a lot of people from the city there with her, well known in the community. And her son has died. She's a widow woman. And so Jesus touches him and he comes back to life. There's another miracle. And people are getting a bigger and bigger picture of this man, Jesus of Nazareth, this supposed son of Joseph the carpenter, now of Mary the widow. This man that had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon and Judas, and at least two sisters, there's no names ever mentioned. And people used to say, of course, where did he get all of this stuff? But here we have Jesus working miracles. Excuse me, my apologies about that. I forget to listen to my own advice sometimes and turn off my phone. And then they started realizing, as it says in verse number 16, that there came a fear on them. I know we're scooting through this at a much, at a big rate of knots right to this very moment in time, but there came a fear on people. It wasn't just a case of, as is so many times the case in church, where people, oh, that was a good message, and they pumped the pastor's hand and give him a pat in the back, and then they go home and it's like just water off a duck's back. It's like the parable where the word of God was sown but it fell on hard ground. People were putting on a good show and it didn't make a blind bit of difference to them in the grand scheme of things. These people were concerned, in other words. And when I say fear, normally whenever the Bible mentions fear in respect of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean like horror-filling fear. It doesn't mean like existential threat fear. It means all of a sudden they had a reality shift or a reality check, and they realized that God is not just for going to on a Sunday morning and everything will be hunky-dory, but God is there when we leave church, he's there when we leave this world, and he's there whenever we step off into the next one. He acts in this world and we ought to be careful. And that's exactly what they said. It's a matter of life and death. Today it was the centurion. Yesterday it was the centurion's servant. Today it's the widow woman's son. Tomorrow it could be me. And it caused all these people, and there were a lot of people there, to consider their eternities. I think it was summed up very well in 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Lord said to us via Peter, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, and I don't just mean that, but I mean these bodies too. Someday these bodies will go to dust if we hang around long enough, or someday they'll just be taken up into the air, as it says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, in the rapture. These bodies will be dissolved one way or another. We will receive new, but these bodies will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be? And then it says, in all holy conversation and godliness. Now as we read on, we read a portion of scripture that is often misquoted and misused, that John the Baptist was sitting in prison and he was afraid and confused, and he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to see if he was really the Messiah. But John the Baptist had spent his whole life in the wilderness being taught of God and was told, I'm sure throughout his life, it's your cousin. Jesus fella, your cousin, he's the Messiah. And of course he was told by God, on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend upon like a dove and rest and remain, that's the Messiah. So what he was doing was taking care of his disciples and making sure they became Jesus' disciples because he had a look for souls. And he sent them to ask Jesus, are you the one? And on that very same day, what does the Bible say? It talks about the miracles that Jesus did. And then Jesus turned to them and said, now you've seen the miracles, what do you think? Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want you to think for a little bit and consider how we approach God. In the days of the Old Testament, God acted in the world. Lepers were healed, not very many of them compared even to the 3 years that the Lord walked in. I think it was 15, 20 lepers, and of course all of the lepers are cleansed, so it's an ongoing thing. But Naaman, the leper, he was cleansed. And he actually changed his life. He made it a point of worshiping God. And he said, and I love this, he said, but I have my duties as to the king, on whose, and he leans in my arm, he depends on me. And sometimes I have to go into that, the temple of whatever it was, whilst the king goes to worship, but I will only worship God from here on. God makes a difference. There is Aaron's wife, whenever her and Aaron decided to go against Moses, and God turned her into a leper, and she was healed again. We had the dead raised to life. Do you remember Elisha, the child of the woman that was very good to him, and made him a wee house by the side of her house, so that any time he was passing through, he'd have a bed, and she would feed him, raised her to life. Children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness were fed and watered by manna from heaven, by quail that were ordered into the camp. That didn't work out so well for them, but they were ordered into the camp. And then the flaming fiery serpents went through the camp. Even before all of that, the Lord demonstrated his authority over nature in the kingdom of Egypt. You remember what happened there? The locusts plagued the people, the frogs plagued the people, the flies plagued the people, the lice plagued the people, even the weather, thunder and lightning running across the ground to destroy the Egyptians. Do you remember how fire and brimstone rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember the waters parted for the Red Sea? And in Jordan for the children of Israel to walk over. Remember, the waters came up and destroyed the whole world except for 8 souls. Do you recall to mind, as the children of Israel moved into the promised land, and even before that, many times, all they had to do was turn up at battle, and all of their enemies were dead. The Lord encouraged and fought for and strengthened, and he chastened them too whenever they rebelled against them. And even as judgment was called down upon all those that hated the enemies of the Lord, and we need to remember that. We love to hear about the Lord being a God of loving kindness and righteousness, but it's very hard to speak in judgment because that people don't like to think of their God having to roll his sleeves up and crack his knuckles and beat the behind of us from time to time. But more importantly, to judge those that hate us. Remember, for all of the judgment that fell on the children of Israel, I believe Nebuchadnezzar accepted God as his Savior. I believe, and the Bible says, Rahab the harlot trusted in God and was incorporated into the line of King David. Ruth, the Moabitess, was saved. Naaman, the leper, declared his allegiance to God. The congregation and God's congregation, God's salvation, was open to everyone. Anyone that was prepared to turn away from their false gods and worship God. But by the same token, God's judgment would fall upon all of those that hated them. That's like, go back 2,000 years and then go back all the time before that. I think I've mentioned just about everything I can think of then. There were many confrontations between God, God's prophets, and remember the prophets of Baal. Remember, all the prophets of Baal came out against Elijah, and fire was called down from heaven. They jumped about all day, their religion being useless, and it is the same today. Man's religion is useless. It's useless for the people that need it, but it's very useful for the people that are promoting it. Get all the money and all the pats in the back. But as we move forward from BC to AD, we see the same things. We see the blind being healed, the lame being made to walk, as the Lord said. All manner of infirmities healed, lepers even, devils cast out, the dead raised to life, and very oddly, the gospel preached to the poor. I'm always reminded of the words of Peter when I hear about the gospel being preached. Whenever he was challenged about where he was going, when everybody else was heading off because, the gospel cut a bit too close to the quick, or started making people feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know what Peter said? Lord, where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In the birth of Christ and in his walking on the face of the earth, many of the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament were fulfilled in him. To the death of all of the toddlers at the hands of Herod, the 2 years old and under. Riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, I think that was a prophecy from Jeremiah. As we go back to Daniel, he prophesied that there would be 70 weeks of years on Israel. And the first 69 weeks would start a countdown from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the donkey, in the back of the donkey. And that happened. 483 years after Nehemiah received the command to rebuild Jerusalem, which had lain desolate because of the children of Israel's sin, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He fulfilled all of those. But not only did he fulfill prophecy, he actually gave us prophecy too. Even through the Old Testament, as God gave prophecy to his men, Jesus directly was given prophecy to us. Probably one of the best is Matthew 24. Very long range, 2,000 years in the future. But he also, at the very start of it, gave a short-term prophecy. He said, this temple will be pulled down, not one stone stamped upon another, and about 20 or 30 years later, that's exactly what happened. So people could say, hold on, he said that would happen, and it did. And all of the other prophecies about him were true. I think all of the other prophecies that are yet to come will come true. And so, we have the prophecies and we spoke about them, wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. We have the prophecies about great persecution of the Christians, even people thinking they're doing the right thing by persecuting and killing Christians. We have the prophecies about false Christ, and my goodness, it's like lifting up an old rotten log and they come flying, all the woodlice come flying out once the light's shone upon them. They scarper. The Lord reminded the people around about him of all of the people that had been sent in the 4,000 years previously. Their words and deeds, and even the mighty works that the Lord did through his prophets, he did again. From the creation of the world 6,000 years ago to its destruction in just over 1,000 years from now. From the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt and the passing away of all those that doubted him in the 40 years in the wilderness. From the word of God delivered to Moses during his 40 days up on the Mount Sinai to the destruction of those pretenders, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Do you remember that? They all said, We want to be in charge. This Moses, he's enjoying a very favoured place. And Moses, tearing his hair out, doing his best to help these people get nothing but jip, he goes into the Lord and says, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. The Lord said to Moses, this is what you say to them. And Moses came out and said, right, everybody, just stand away from them and stand away from me. And he said, if these men die the death of all men, I am not the prophet of God. So you could die by being poisoned, killed, old age, battle, crushed, hit by a meteorite. You could die by all those things, couldn't you? I mean, can you think of an electrocution? You could be hit by lightning. And Moses said, if these men die the death of all men, I'm not the prophet of God. And the earth opened up and swallowed them and their families and all the people pertaining to them, and they went alive down into the pit. God was working back in the old days. We already mentioned the prophecy from Daniel to rebuild Jerusalem and Messiah come in. That last week of Daniel is the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. Do you remember the waters that Jesus commanded to stand still so that he could walk on them? And Peter as well. Do you remember the storms that were calmed as the Lord exercised his control over the weather? And even the critters, just like the critters were under his charge in the Old Testament. And the fish leapt into the nets. And there was even a fish was commanded to pick up a penny off of a riverbed before it hopped on the hook. Every time the devils crossed Jesus' path, there was one winner, and that was Christ. They were commanded and they had to obey. Even though they rebelled, God still had the ultimate authority over them. And in those 2,000 years since, just as Joel said, that his spirit would be poured out upon all men, we have that. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of conviction about my sins and the way I was living my life before I got saved. And that's exactly what happened. And just as those that trust in the Lord get saved by that Spirit until the day of redemption and are able to make good on God's promises, those that reject Jesus Christ as Savior suffer the ongoing conviction of sin and judgment to come. How many souls saved in the last 2,000 years completely free, forever and sure? Everyone. Everyone that has trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior has been saved for free, forever and sure. How many of them have been chastened by the Lord? Every single one of them, one way or another, has been shown you've done something wrong, you need to make it right. But well then, how many of those souls that have rejected Jesus Christ in the past 2,000 years have gone to hell? Every single one of them. You don't get saved, end up in hell, and that's sad. And God's judgment is here and now in this world, not whenever you stand in front of him. God's judgment is here and now. And as one of the old parables said, you best make right with your adversary, make him your friend, make him your savior, before you meet him as judge, jury, and executioner. How many of God's prophecies back in the day came to pass? Every single one of them that needed to. Every single one about the Savior except the one about him coming back. The others will happen. In fact, the Word of God says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will make them come to pass. You might think, like what? First of all, I want to state some of the things that are mentioned in this Bible we've caused. Mankind has brought on his own head. There are others that God will make happen. But he said these are the things to look out for. This is how to avoid them. They're going to happen. Get saved. The state of man. We have seen the state of man. There's the reason there's only a handful of us here this morning, because men are proud and covetous and boasters and can't even contain the thought that they might be wrong and need Jesus Christ as their Savior. We've seen the state of religion. We know how many people love the King James Bible. I can think of three churches. I know the Independent Methodist uses it. I know the church, the Free Presbyterian Church uses it, and I know this Independent Baptist Church uses it. But the Bible says in the last days there would be traitors, heady and high-minded, looking religious, having a form of godliness, but never telling people they need to be saved. How many churches does that cover? We're here. We have the state of people, where people give good for evil and evil for good, or sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. The Bible says, woe unto them that join house to house. Did you ever read that? When you pack people too tight together and there's not enough space for children to grow up and learn their chores and stuff like that. We live in these days. Everything's upside down. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Although I have yet to find a transgender woman, man that wants to be a brickie or an MMA fighter. Never found that. Anyway, what about the state of technology? I always go to that, but it's because I love technology. We have a worldwide, a global communication system mentioned in the Bible. No, it doesn't say they hooked up their GPS and off they went. It says every eye will see Christ whenever he comes back. We have little devices that can give images life, as like it says in Revelation 13. And so on. We have the state of our military might. Matthew 24, where it says no flesh would be saved if Jesus didn't come back. That doesn't mean salvation. That means left alive. How many buttons would need to be pressed before everything in this world was destroyed? And then we have the state of real Christianity. Persecuted and dying. The Bible says there would be a great falling away just before all of this happened. And it's because the love of many is growing cold. And lastly, the last one we're going to speak about is the state of Israel. A nation named Israel after 2,000 years is the same land, it's the same people. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Do you ever see that in the movies? That's all that's happened. They're persecuted, they're hated, they're attacked, and they're divinely preserved. And they will continue to be so. The only time people are, God has said to leave the land of Israel is when you see the Antichrist set himself up in the temple on the mount. That's the only time. And you know what he says? You better have a go bag in the back of your van. You better be carrying it on the back of your back. He said, if you're on the roof, don't go back down into the house to get anything. It's going to be that tight and it's going to happen that quickly. If you're out in the field, don't go home. Head for the hills. And even to this day, people are storing food, medical supplies, clothes, all that stuff in the mountains, in the caves, in the mountains for the children of Israel. All of these things were put in place and maintained in spite of much hatred and much opposition by the God that created time and space. I keep going to point there, because that's where it used to be the Bible verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the same God that will save to the uttermost those that repent of their sins and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. The same God that will judge and punish for the endless ages of eternity those that don't. And we ought to be very particular in our relationship with him. He's not our mate. And he's not the bloke that'll go to bat for us. He is our dad. And in that relationship, the father knows best. And all things work together for good for a little child when they do what their mummies and daddies, what a sensible mummy and daddy will ask them to do. And all things will work together for good for us whenever we do what our Heavenly Father says. A couple of great verses that have helped me along the years. One of them is Matthew 10:28. And this is what Jesus said. You ought not to fear them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And there, that's a full physical resurrection into hell. And that's not what we want. These words apply to us as much today as they did when they were spoken thousands of years ago. they are still for real. And they're still making a difference in people's lives, for good or for bad, depending on what you happen to be doing with God's word. But we ought to be fearful of God. We ought to be respectful of God. We should be. It's Him that holds all the cards. It's Him that, literally, whose words that created planets and the sun and put everything in motion around them. It's those words that speak favorably to us or chasing us, Christians. It is those words that convict us of sin and will judge us if we don't get saved. We ought to be respectful, very respectful of God, and careful how we live our Christian lives. I had a whole bunch of wonderful words I wanted to say, but I had brought to mind Joshua 24. Joshua, the understudy of Moses, who ruled the children of Israel as they moved into the promised land, God spoke with him face to face, just like Moses, as a man speaks to his friend. And this is what he had to say. This was his challenge to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. This is what he said. Joshua 24. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins." We need to remember that there is a chastening for us for the things that we do wrong in this world. Not unto death and not forever, but to straighten us out and point us in the right direction. "If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And then Joshua said, "Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." That's me, folks. God bless you. Pray that's a wee help to you, especially in these dark days. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. I'll take a suggestion for our closing hymn, if anybody has one.
Holy, holy, holy. Four in the black book.
Number
four.
Works for me. Wee black book. Grab your wee black hymn books with the big writing and turn to number four. And we'll sing "Holy, Holy, Holy." Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys and gals, for your good time and attention. Hope you all have a good afternoon. Look forward to maybe seeing another warm body or two, or that bus breaking down outside this evening. And if not, we'll look forward to it another day. That's Fireheads, and we'll be closed with a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come out and meet together and worship together. Thank you for the good weather yesterday, for being able to be out tracking. Thank you even for the rain today. And I pray, Lord, that you would preserve life, but Lord, that you would greatly convict souls of sin and judgment to come. I pray, Lord, that you break the shackles that the devil and the world and feelings have placed over people's reason and powers, Lord, and reason with them about their sins and your cleansing of them. Lord, we really need you. Please bless us as we part company and our wee bit of fellowship together. And we pray most importantly, Father, for your will to be done. We love you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. No fellowship for a little bit. Goodness. Amen.